I love that. And for people, it could be poetry, right? It could be, I don't know, I get fired up through music, songs. It's like, oh, don't try to hold me back, you know? And it's wonderful. And I do totally agree with you. Like, the power of the voice is so strong, and women need to speak up. We need to not be afraid of what people think of us, how they perceive us. And one thing that COVID has kind of done for me, and you've probably been in kind of the COVID state in a way a lot longer, is that it's given us time to just recenter, reflect, and pivot. And I love opportunities to pivot, you know, when you have time to really be in touch with that intuition and do some of these things for ourselves. Like, and I want to ask you about your self-care and your nutrition and things next. The things that we can do for ourselves, and just even just taking a little bit of time out of our day, you know, maybe a half hour or 20 minutes or 10 minutes, meditate or listen to something that moves us and inspires us, or, you know, yoga or whatever it is, but doing these things where you can recenter yourself, reconnect with yourself, ground yourself. And I have lots of techniques and tools as well for that, from spiritual, like energy healers and things that I have learned over the years. But would you share with us some of the things that you do to take time out for yourself, for self-care and self-love, and just acknowledging your beautiful spirit of a person that you are?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I do, I'm all about food. My background is in nutrition. And so to me, every single time that you eat, that's an opportunity to love yourself. That's an opportunity to give yourself the self-care. You have to eat either way. So why not take it as an opportunity to say, yes, this is my self-care practicing time. And I'm only going to feed my body nourishing, healthy foods because I love myself enough to know that I deserve to have a healthy body and a healthy mind. And I think one of the things that we don't really talk about a lot, but inside your body, emotions are tangible. They're molecules. They're real, you know? And so they can get stuck and they can get clogged. And so eating well so that your organs are filtering properly and they're functioning at top notch, that actually helps to get the emotions out of you. Like, yes, I lived in fear. I lived in terror. But do those emotions have to be stuck in my body? Not unless I choose for them to be. And so that's a big part of why I eat a lot of greens and a lot of, you know, vegetables and things like that, so that my organs can stay clean, continue processing those. Another thing that I love to do is walk. I have a theory, and I don't know if a mental health professional would agree with me on this or not, but are you familiar with EMDR therapy? The kind of back and forth eye movement thing?
Oh, yes. Yes. I just didn't know what it was called, but I have seen that before. Yes.
Yeah, it's EMDR. I don't remember. Eye movement something. Anyway, I believe that walking might be like the original form of EMDR, because the whole theory of EMDR is to take the emotion back and forth between the left and right hemispheres of the brain, right? And so when you're walking, it's back and forth, very rhythmic, back and forth, back and forth. So I'm walking, you know, 15,000 steps a day, sometimes 20. Yesterday, I had a very anxiety, emotional day. And so yesterday I was at like 23,000 steps. So I'll do that just to process the emotions, just to keep them going, keep that rhythmic back and forth, left and right hemisphere of the brain, just to keep it going. And it's such a simple thing. It's not, you know, obviously that took a while yesterday, but that's not the norm for me. But, you know, just keep your body moving, keep those things going. I think it's important, back and forth. I don't understand the whole theory and premise behind it, but it makes a difference. So that's another thing that I do. Like I said, the breathing, the active meditation, just a lot of acceptance and a lot of observance. Like, I'm very aware, like, how am I feeling today? Where am I at today? And if I have a day with a lot of anxiety, then I'm going to do something to help calm down the anxiety. I'm going to take some supplements that help process anxiety feelings, or I'm going to do a lot of walking. I'm going to be very careful with what I eat that day. So just a lot of observation. I'm constantly learning about me. I'm a student of myself more than anything. And so just really paying attention. And again, you know, going back to the poetry and feminism and surrounding myself with strong women who are powerful, who are expressing that power. And that means listening to podcasts like yours some days. That means, watching, reading the poetry some days, going out with friends who are on that path. But surrounding yourself with people who really are taking that power back. It's a lot of social media accounts where women are very, very powerful and speaking out on their social media accounts. So there's so many different ways in our modern world to find those women who are on the same wavelength as you. And I think that surrounding yourself with that is really incredibly powerful and incredibly healing. It gives you permission, I think, to express that side of you.
Yeah. And I think it's nice when you see other people doing it. It makes you feel safer. Like, okay, I'm not the first person to express myself. This person did it. And you know, it's funny because, you know, people, I think it kind of goes back to fear. Like, if I say this, something bad's going to happen. Well, you know, I've said things, I'm like, oh, hey, got away with saying what was on my mind. That's cool. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, oh, that's great. But for women, like little steps, right? You know, you can kind of speak your truth in little steps. You don't have to come out like from being in the shell and just trying to meet other people's expectations to the lion in your dreams. but really like little steps, like what are your truths? Like, and really being honest and being in touch with yourself and sharing that. And one thing that I learned that I just thought was so wonderful, and this is after a few years of being married, and it's kind of like, okay, you know, I have a little bit of an issue that with this. I don't know how to say it yet. And so I would start to say, oh, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with that, but I'm not exactly sure why. I need a little bit of time to think about my feelings around it. So we don't always have to have the answers, right? We don't always have to have this, but we can speak our truth and speak out. And like the power of that voice is so powerful. Then when you see other people doing it, you're like, okay, they did it and they're fine. They did it and they're respected. Look at all these women that are being respected for speaking their voice. And you know, so many of us can be tamped down by saying, oh, you're just a woman's liber. I mean, that's just like the old 1970s way of slapping women down. You're a woman's liber. Right. Oh, you're a bra burner, or you're a tree hugger, you're whatever. You know, these labels come out and get put on us. And it's like, forget all that. And especially somebody like me who's lived through those eras, and the younger women now, I think, are a little bit better. But like, I want our daughters. Do you have daughters, September, or sons, or?
I have five daughters and two sons. Yeah.
Five daughters and two sons. Wow. That's beautiful. So we want our children, our daughters and our sons, like, right. It takes both to understand that we women need to speak ourselves. For your children, like, I wonder about their perspective on this and how they're going to view women after you come back your strong self and get your life back. That'll be interesting. And you don't have to talk about it, but it just is a thought that kind of came to my mind about the role model aspect of it, right?
Yeah, and I think about that a lot. And one of the things, you know, there's, like I was saying with the acceptance, there is this harsh reality that I have to accept that I may not raise my children. There is that possibility that I may not ever, until they're adults, until they're grown and they seek me out, there is that possibility. But one of the reasons for my speaking out and doing interviews like this and having my blog and all of those kinds of things is because they're going to seek me out. Like, there's no question about that. I'm their mother. And I'm going to have an influence. And when they do, no matter how patriarchal brainwashed they become, they're going to start to ask questions. And they're going to say, oh, mom saw things a little bit differently. Oh, you know, so that's one of this is setting things up for my children.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful, because to be that strong female role model, like, your girls will need that, right? They will absolutely need that. Like, they can listen to all these podcasts and the things that you're doing, and maybe you'll write a book, who knows? But to be able to have that in a tangible, and also getting a glimpse of you now, right? A glimpse of you now, they'll have that part of you versus missing it. You will have all of that, which will be really wonderful.
You were asking about the journaling, and you know, while I would like to sit down and actually write it out, but there it is, the blog, the social media stuff that I post, these podcast interviews, I'm doing some TV interviews now. That is journaling, you know, it is capturing the journey of the healing process. And when I first left, I knew I would always speak, because I've always known that, you know, a big part of who I am is speaking out But when I first left, like, there was a lot more anger in me at the time. And there was a lot more pain and a lot more, you know, I had to work through some of those emotions before I got to the point where I felt comfortable speaking out. And it's kind of interesting because even in the interviews, like at first, it was all about the story. It was all about, this is what happened to me. And now it's kind of evolving as we go along. It's evolving more and more where I want to talk. I don't want to talk so much about the story. Like, I'll give you enough background so that you know that, like, I've been through too much. But I don't want to talk about that anymore. Now I want to say, okay, how do we move forward? Okay, how do we empower other women and strengthen other women so that we can all start to rise together and really move our society into a new place?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a great sign of you growing, right? And healing is that you don't want to be in that anymore. You've chosen to, you've dealt with it, you've grown beyond it. And we were on the phone last week, you were saying, it's really just been a really short period of time that you've come to this point of being able to release that anger, right? And so that anger, those types of emotions are very like low energy, heavy energy. And we do want to release those. We don't want to keep those in our body. And, you know, we welcome light and happiness and joyful things. We only have so much space. And so all those things block, right? All those things that we stay in block all the good things that could come into our lives. So I'm so happy to hear that you have gotten through that. There was a gal that I knew that this was probably 15 years ago, but she had gone through a divorce and her husband had left her for this younger woman that he had met on a train. And she was just bitter and angry. And a year later, bitter and angry. And I was like, oh, you know, I feel it, but it's really hard to be around, you know, and especially as a friend, when you're trying to help somebody through something, the goal is through something. it's not stay in it and listen to it and let that person wallow in it forever. A good friend would not allow that. But everybody has their own way of healing. I mean, I know another gal who has lost some people in her life and is still sad. And, you know, and I lost my father 3 years ago. We were so close, my papa. And so that's sad too sometimes, but to be able to take those emotions, and I'm sure things kind of like come in waves for you too, right? It's not like, okay, I'm through this and that's done. Like you said, you had a harder day yesterday, kind of a more anxiety ridden day yesterday. Like, I think it's natural and normal for women to say, you know what? It's not black and white. It's not this complete constant path. It's like waves and wishes and, it's all over. And that's the human experience. And I think if we can look at these things that happen in our lives, and I've talked about this a lot in my podcast, is look at every experience, whether we view it as positive or negative. And for yours, it's like, whew, all kinds of really hard things to deal with, is they are human experiences. And they are, I believe, designed to teach us something. So we can either take something from that and move on with it and help people as you're doing, or we can just say, oh, that happened to me, and live like we're still in high school. Like, oh, those were my favorite days. Those were my best days. And I see people like that too. And that saddens me. But it's really what we do with it, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely what we do with it. And I think that, you know, we as women, I think, are designed to want a better future. I think that's what we're all about, with nurturing children and raising children. That's sort of what we're wired for, in a sense, but no disrespect to any woman who chooses not to have children. I have a lot of respect for women who choose not to have children. But we are, I think we're sort of designed and hardwired to be looking towards the future and how do we make the future better. And that's, like I said, that's just a big part of raising children, which is a big part of what makes us women. So gathering women, circles of women, getting together, we strengthen each other and we move towards the future, a better, more light-filled future.
Yes, very light-filled. So if any of our listeners are in some sort of a situation where they're questioning it, they can go to take that test that you suggested. Can you say the name of that again?
It's the Mosaic Threat Assessment.
Mosaic?
Google Mosaic Threat Assessment, you'll find it.
Great. That is good to know. And then what are some of the first signs? So say a woman's in a situation right now and she can't maybe pinpoint why she's not thriving. What are some of the things she can ask herself to start to identify, you know, am I in an abusive situation? Some abusive situations are very extreme, like yours, and some are very kind of covert, right? And so some women may not recognize some of the either early signs, or maybe they've lived with it so long, they just don't really recognize, because that's our familiar, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that happened for me was that a girlfriend ordered me a book. We were out at lunch and I was talking about my relationship and some of the stuff that was going on. And she was like, there's a book I think you need to read. And so she actually got on Amazon right there and had it sent to my house. And when I got it and I started reading it, it validated all of my emotions. And so I think reaching out, even if that's on social media, finding some people who have been through and experienced some of the questions that you're starting to have in your mind, getting validated, I think, is very empowering, which is why they want us to stay quiet, because the more we speak, the more we validate each other, the more we empower each other. But that initial validation piece, but if you're asking yourself, if you're in an abusive relationship, you can be pretty confident that the answer is yes. I mean, if you even have that question in your mind, you can be pretty confident that the answer is yes. And so then what do you do with it? I think that one of the challenges that we're facing in our society right now is that we're taught that if he ever lays a hand on you, you get out, you know, no questions asked, like you're gone immediately, right? But we're not taught that about psychological abuse or emotional abuse or financial abuse. And the reality is, if your partner is abusing you in any way, he's willing to abuse you in every way. So it's just going to escalate over time. And so if I had, you know, paid attention to the red flags and watched that, one of the first things that he did to me was he humiliated me in front of his friends. And it was just a snide little sarcastic comment, but it was very, and he knew that it was going to humiliate me. He knew what he was doing. And then, you know, in the court case, I mean, my God, he smeared me so bad. He said the most horrific, awful things about me. It's like, if he was willing to make that one comment in front of his friends, of course he was going to be willing to do that to the courts later. I mean, of course, it makes perfect sense that he has no respect for my emotions, you know, any of that stuff. So of course he was going to do that. So I really think that we need to push forward the message of, if he's psychologically abusive, if he's emotionally abusive, if he's financially abusive, get out, get yourself safe. I think that financial abuse is too big of a piece, and we really need to focus on women being strengthened with money and empowered with money. So there's so many great resources coming up more and more all the time. Susie Orman is huge about that. Susie Orman, you know, she's written books and podcasts and she's all over the place, but she's really big about stopping financial abuse and empowering women with money. So I really think that getting that out there, that if he's abusing you in any way, he's willing to abuse you in every way. So if you see abuse, get out. Any abuse whatsoever, just get out.
Amazing point. You know, it goes back to one thing that I learned just in dating. You know, we kind of learn this as we, you know, we're 16, 17, 18 years old in our 20s, start to date, start get interested in guys. And it was like, he dumped his girlfriend for me. I'm like, you are kidding me. Don't you realize that if he dumps his girlfriend for you, that he might dump you for the next, like once they're capable, they're capable. Here's another one. Like, how do they treat their family? How do they treat other women in their lives? Like, those are all signs, aren't they? How do they treat their mother, their sister? Do they have respect? Or do they treat them badly? And do they put them down? And do they disrespect them in ways? Yeah. Right?
Absolutely. Those are all signs, and they're all things to watch out for and pay attention. You know, I think I have a friend who is a male, and he's very enlightened type of a person. And he told me one night that men follow women. And I've always been, that's always stuck with me. I think he probably said that to me like 6 or 7 years ago. And it's just really, really stuck with me. Men follow women. And I think that one of the fears that we have is that if we all stand up and are empowered, then we won't need men anymore. And they just won't, you know, like, why, we won't have any relationships and we'll all end up alone. Right. And, but I think that the men will catch on very quickly, and they'll catch up, and they'll be like, okay, I better be a respectful, decent human being if I want to be with a woman, you know, because.
Yeah. Step up, man. Step up. My husband follows me all the time. And I think in a marriage or any relationship, what regardless of it's man, woman, man, whatever, is that there is that mutual respect and you expect the best out of each other. And I have this saying, I call it 1 + 1 = 3, which is the two of you together make something greater, a greater sum than you are individually. So that's when I feel like I know there's a great match. Not that there's not ever disagreements or feelings hurt, or I mean, those kind of things happen. We're all human. But I just think, you know, to be in those kinds of relationships, that women have to be in a place of confidence and of standing up for themselves and using their voices to be able to find, it's like that like attracts like, right? It's yeah. to find that person that meets them where they are. But together you expect the best out of each other and not something unrealistic or what you were put into, this little sliver of, and all one-sided and not healthy for you. But there is a healthy balance that I think we can all have if we're in that right space to attract it. So how can people reach you if they want to be able to connect with you, to follow you, your blog? I would love to share that with people. You're just such a joy and you are full of bright light and inspiration. And I would love for everybody that listens to this to be able to continue learning from you and to watch you grow on your journey and get your life back. And it'll happen. It might take some time, but it'll happen, right? So how do we reach you, September?
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you just said. So my blog is septemberburton.com and social media. I'm on Twitter, September Burton. Instagram is September M. Burton. Facebook, September Burton. So all of those places. September Burton is a pretty unique name, so and pretty easy to find in that way.
It is. And I told you on the phone too, I love your name. And it's such a calming name and it's so unique. You know, I typically sometimes, I know a lot of people and I mean, a lot of people and trying to remember names is really hard, but for you, I'm like, oh, September. It's so easy. It's so easy to remember. And now I have a face associated with your name, which is lovely. So, okay. So people can do that and follow you. And I know we talked about kind of what's next, and I know you can't share a lot, but if you could share with me why you can't share, that might be useful here too.
Yeah, so what's next? You know, I definitely have things in the works to go take back my power and take my life back, but obviously I'm not going to share all of my strategic plans on a podcast and publicly, but there are things in the works, and I have every intention of going and getting my life back, so...
That's great. And just a little bit of a little sidebar is I have in my marriage, it's a blended family. And we have my natural older daughter, she's 32. And then my husband's natural daughter is also 32. And we met when they were 5 years old and they were in kindergarten. Oh, wow. Rolling around on the floor like little bear cubs, so adorable. And I looked up and I'm like, who is this man? And I put out my hand and I said, I haven't met you yet, because I knew I was destined to meet him and he knew he was going to meet somebody. That's that intuition. We both knew when we met each other that we were meant to be together. And we saw our daughters rolling around on the floor. And then he also has a son that was, I think like 16 months younger. And then we had a child together. So it's a yours, mine, and ours family. And our youngest is 21. And it was just so interesting when, you know, blending a family is so hard. And so I did go through that situation where the girls or the my husband's natural children looked at me like maybe didn't trust me. They were being told things that weren't true about me. And I was just always considered myself to be just another person that loved these two children, right? And I never differentiated between the kids like, oh, these are my husband's kids and these are mine, or there was none of that. It was always, okay, for my husband and I to work together, unified family. And it was really hard because they thought things about me that weren't true. And yeah. It wasn't until later, until they were in their 20s, they're like, oh, that's not true. Tony's really not that way. She's not superficial. I'm like, I'm one of the least superficial. I go pretty deep. People that I know, and I just like follow through on everything. And I do have integrity, great integrity. And I really pride myself in that. And so they really were being told a different picture than living with us. We had them half the time for week on, week off. They were told a very different picture. And so I think they were like not trusting their intuition. I think they had to disregard what they were seeing. And it was only until later that we started, because we always had love for each other. That was always there. And there wasn't really conflict between us, but it was more like, you know, I feel like I'm kind of under a microscope and I feel like they don't, the relationship could be so much stronger. And it wasn't until they were in their 20s that they came back like a thousandfold in the relationship with me. So I'm thinking that perhaps, you know, with your children, I'm sure are smart. I'm sure, I don't know what ages they are, but I'm sure that at some point you will have a very rich relationship with them.
Well, I really appreciate everything that you just said because it's so inspiring to me. And that's one of the reasons that I trusted walking away and fleeing, because it was, you know, the decision at the time was, are my children better off with a mother who's dead or with a mother who's far away? And obviously there was a lot that went into the decision to flee.
Wow.
To that way. But that everything that you just said was a big part of it, was that I know they're going to be lied to about me. I know that they're going to be told things that just simply are not true. But they're going to be able to see at some point, they're going to be able to see that these things that they were told are not true. And mom's not crazy. And mom's actually a really good person. And, you know, and so thank you for what you just said. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, I think that you will be in a really poised position and a grounded position to help them heal.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I'm very intuitive. I'm listening to my intuition around you right now. And that's kind of what I'm seeing for you. You're really a beautiful person. I'm kind of tearing up right now. You really, truly are. And you deserve that. Mm-hmm. And they deserve to have you. And there's just, you know, a place where that'll happen, where it'll be maybe even better than if you had stayed, right? You showed them how to take care of yourself.
Yes, and how to walk away from abuse. One of my friends in Hawaii, one day I said something about walking away from my children, and she said, no, don't ever say that again. She said, you walked away from abuse. You did not walk away from your children.
That's right.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm trying, I hope that my kids get out of this, is if there's abuse, walk away. Just walk away. So I needed to walk away.
They'll know your story. Yeah, I see great love there. So, Well, September, it has been so wonderful having you here. I really appreciate your time, your story, the vulnerability. I wish you safety and happiness and just the joys. I enjoying the simple joys in life right now, right? Rebuilding. And if I can ever help you in any way, I am here 1,000%. And I will, I'm sure all my male and female listeners will get a great deal out of this. It'll probably, I predict this will be their favorite podcast yet.
Well, I loved this conversation. This was an absolutely amazing conversation. So thank you.
And you know, frankly, people that reach out to me, you're the first one that I thought, yeah, I think I'm going to respond.
Wow.
I just knew it was a divine, intuitive. It absolutely was. So thank you so much. So, and thank you all my guests for listening to Tony Talks Humanity Matters, and feel free to visit September's website, and I will be posting it here so that there's a direct link to you and all of your goodness. And also my website for tools and resources such as the books I've written, blogs, podcasts, and my Tony's Protein Meals, which are my balanced macro healthy meals for a strong body at any age. And I'm going to send you a little care package, and we'll talk again.